Alyssa Procida, hello.
Hi.
Now, tell us about this tag, what it looks like, and, you know, for people that are listening to this and not seeing it, what does the tag actually look like?
The trademark is normally, as you say, applied to tags, and it's called the Igloo tag for a reason. The really strong image associated with the trademark is an igloo, which is sort of sits in a black sort of elongated oval that says Canada on the top and now says Inuit art underneath the igloo.
What does this tag tell people that are buying a carving or a piece of artwork?
So the trademark was established by the federal government in 1958 to do what it still does, which is to certify to purchasers that the work that they're buying is made by an Inuk artist, not sort of a mass-produced, cast-molded fake or some other artist who is using imagery often associated with Inuit artists.
In what ways does the tag or the trademark help the artists that produce the work?
So the tag serves the artists in a variety of ways. So on the front of a physical tag is where often a lot of the provenance information is recorded that otherwise might be lost or unavailable at later times. So that's the artist's name, their community, a little number on the back of the tag that tells you where the piece sort of came from in terms of distribution systems. And then a unique number often associated with it in case sort of researchers or the collector wants to follow up later. In addition to providing that provenance information, the Igloo tag has actually substantial value financially for artists, which was recently sort of calculated by the government's Impact of the Inuit Arts Economy study that was released on July 9th. And so we have discovered that consumers often perceive that works with an igloo tag are worth over $117 more than those that don't have it. And so in aggregate, every year, that adds about $3.5 million to the Inuit arts economy, which is huge.
So we're talking about something that really plays an important role in the North.
Yes. And so often the tags are most widely seen in the South, where they're at points of sale for consumers. But the tag absolutely has big impacts in the North and is really beloved there, which is where the conversation about the transfer really started in Iqaluit back in 2013.
And tell us a little bit more about those discussions and why it was time and why now.
Mm-hmm. So as I mentioned, back in 1958, the federal government created this trademark to protect Inuit artists, which is the only trademark of its kind in Canada. Other Indigenous peoples in the country don't have a trademark like this, although in the rest of the world, Indigenous groups do. And they had been managing it since then. And so in 2013, the Inuit Art Foundation was undertaking a big stakeholder consultation about what our programming directions should be throughout the North and the South. And the government organized a meeting to talk about the future of the trademark program. And so we met in Iqaluit first with a number of artists and government representatives, cultural workers, gallery owners, I believe a few collectors were there, and talked about, you know, really why the trademark is so important to all sectors of the Inuit arts economy. But that, you know, the time has really passed for the government to be running a program that can and should be managed by Inuit themselves. And so we worked very, very closely with INAC and other stakeholders over the next 4 years to talk about carefully managing the transfer of the trademark so that it retains its value and it builds on its strong legacy of support for artists and international visibility, but changes and will continue to change to be responsive to the needs of artists today because the market has changed quite a bit since 1958. And so I think we're really excited to see where that takes us.
And what has been the process for issuing the tag before, and how does IAF think this might change as you guys go ahead?
So the process before about obtaining tags was primarily that large wholesaling organizations or territorial governments would have licenses directly from the federal government. So tags can only still be gotten through a license, but we're anticipating that that licensing system will change to include other organizations and individual artists. One thing that was problematic about the way that the tags were distributed before was that large regions of Inuit Nunangat, or traditional Inuit territory, were excluded because of the way that the distribution system was set up in different territories. So Nunatsiavut in Labrador and the Inuvialuit settlement region in the Northwest Territories and Yukon really didn't have access to the tag. Neither did any artists working in southern Canada, by and large, which is hugely problematic when we talk about it as a marker of Inuit identity and authenticity, as well as the financial value of the tag. So we're really, really pleased to be seeing that change. And I think it was very important to us when appointing a new program coordinator to make sure that the needs of those artists were very clearly articulated, which was one of the reasons we were so excited to hire Brian Winters, who is from Nunatsiavut.
Well, Elisa Persida, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much.